Hi, this is Jeff Drew, a senior editor with the AICPA's Journal of Accountancy. You are listening to the JFA podcast, where we talk about the key issues facing the accounting profession. Today's podcast features the 2017 Accounting Technology Roundtable, an annual conversation the JFA holds with top accounting technology experts. I interviewed the participants in a February conference call. Edited transcripts of the conversation will appear in the June and July issues of the Journal of Accountancy. We are also presenting the podcast in two parts. In today's part two, we cover topics such as artificial intelligence and blockchain. Part one covered topics including cloud adoption, multi-factor authentication, and single sign-on. You can access part one at journalofaccountancy.com/roundtable1.html. Today's podcast features part two of the 2017 Accounting Technology Roundtable. The participants are David Cieslak, principal and founder of Arxis Technology and a popular technology speaker known as Inspector Gadget, J. Carlton Collins, the author of the J of A's monthly technology Q&A column, and Lisa Traina, partner with Traina & Associates, a Capon Krause company that provides IT security audit and consulting services to business clients. And now we join the conversation with the panel addressing the potential impacts of artificial intelligence technologies on the accounting profession.
You know, I'm always reminded of this quote by Bill Gates, that we always overestimate the change that will occur in the next 2 years and underestimate the change that will occur in the next 10. Don't let yourself be lulled into inaction. And, you know, so I always love to be forward looking, but I also like to be, you know, realistic about, you know, when do we really think, you know, that this technology will, start to impact us directly. So we want to be aware of it. So we're ready for it, but we also want to be, ready to, you know, incorporate it, in a strategic fashion into what we do, how we do it every day in the right time frame.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. So, moving forward, I've sent you guys the questions beforehand, and you know, I asked what technologies are CPAs not using that they should. And I would say the basic answer to that seems to be a lot of them right now. So if anyone wants to touch on that, that's fine. We talked about, you know, AI, which, you know, I think CPAs also need to look at the opportunities that AI helps create for them. What opportunities would be created just and not just, you know, the competition, especially on the lower end in terms of the compliance type work and tax and potentially an audit. And you also have technologies out there like, you know, blockchain type technologies that create, you know, triple entry ledgers and or accounting and, you know, could really be transformative in that space. So
Jeff, if I could, before we completely transition into blockchain, and I think we absolutely want to have that conversation. I mean, you know, I want to just bounce it one more time against something, you know, Carlton said earlier, and I kind of, you know, shared as well, you know, all about that awesome end user experience, you know, multiple monitors, you know, being a simple example at the end user desktop. But I know that more and more organizations are embracing a distributed workforce, or at least allowing for flexibility. In where you work, when you work, you know, even on what devices you work. And, you know, our organization is, you know, very much, on board with that as well. And so I think about how we interact with each other every single day. And so a simple example of technology that, that every firm should be using that virtually no one is using. And if they are, they're not using it near enough. And that's video conferencing. So I know today's call, we're using an application application called Zoom, we have an opportunity to turn our cameras on, look at each other, really interact. And I know that, you know, in our firm, we're saying, you know what, the routine calls now, day in and day out, are done with cameras turned on. So we get an opportunity to sit with each other face to face throughout the day, no matter, you know, what we might be working alongside each other on. But I think there's a lot of value in not just hearing someone's voice, but to really get the, you know, the nonverbal communication too, to be able to look into somebody's eyes and to be able to really get those, you know, the rest of that, you know, close that communication loop, as it were. So whether it's Zoom, I just saw an announcement, Amazon is coming out with a new product called Chime, Skype, you know, the go-to meeting, or WebEx, you know, all of these services support, you know, a video component. And I think that should become the new normal. And I highly, highly recommend that folks become very deliberate about video as a part of their, you know, day-to-day communication strategy.
I really like that, Dave. I think it's so true. And I think we mentioned this in our call last year, talked about the need to try to do it. And we had tried to implement it in some of our audit work. So I very much agree with that. And I have one more thing that when we talk about things that CPAs are not doing, it was just something that jumped to me. I cannot comprehend why CPAs are so passionate about paper checks. It just seems that we need to get people moving toward electronic payments. It's quite easy to do. And I'm talking about as much as collecting money as paying bills and reimbursing expenses, just all of the payment cycles. It seems CPAs just go back to the paper check, whether no matter what with the form. So I would encourage a little look at that of paying the bills, collecting money, reimbursing expenses. Let's get some electronics going there.
Yep.
Carlton, you know, anything you want to touch on that CPAs aren't using that they should?
No, sure. I've got some suggestions there. And one of them, which I think I'm a big fan of, and I don't think CPAs use enough, is survey software like SurveyMonkey or Zoho. There's a couple of examples, but it's a great way to stay in touch with your existing clients, and you can pursue potential clients as well. And I'd advise all CPAs in all industries to deploy some surveys throughout the year just to help them stay in touch. And maybe you'll also ferret out some information to help that might help improve your company. Drillable financial statements are another great technology I don't see everybody using as much as they could. It enables a CPA to access deep into the information, answer their own questions about underlying data. Cash flow forecasting is a great tool that's now smart enough to provide very reasonable predictions about where cash is going to be 3 months, 6 months, or 12 months down the road. And I like to see those tools used more often. And CRM tools should definitely be used more just so that you maintain the proper contact with your clients, and maybe even to have continuous contact with prospects as well. CRM can open up those channels of potential clients, so you can keep your pipeline full and cultivate it, so they can turn into clients down the road. So those are easy things I think any CPA could do in virtually any profession. Now, you mentioned blockchain technologies too, Jeff. Did you want to talk about that?
Sure, we can jump into that. This may be in kind of the quote that Dave mentioned from Bill Gates about it may not do as much in 2 years as it's being hyped to do right now, but in 10 years it might be a pretty significant player. So, what do you see in that space, Carlton?
Here's my take on it is, you know, blockchain technology really refers to the use of a public ledger where anybody and everybody can view the transactions. And thereby, by what happens is you get true transparency. And theoretically, this type of technology could be very useful in a lot of areas. And one of them that comes to mind for me is government accounting. You could have all governments at all levels, if they were to use blockchain technology and deploy their financial statements and data so people could drill down and look at it, that might really help prevent corruption in governments at all levels. And I'm on my homeowners board. I even include that as part of a government as well. But I think that most governments don't actually want transparency as badly as they preach transparency. So it's hard to say that solution will ever transform governmental accounting practices. But I liken this blockchain technology to the more elegant and simplistic XML technology, and even the XBRL technology, developed a couple decades ago. There was so much promise in those technologies, and everybody thought at the time it would transform accounting, and it did, at least for the SEC reporting companies. Now they have to report their financial statements in XML formats, but I think largely these technologies have been very underutilized. I would have thought by now that XML and XBRL technologies would underlie all of our accounting systems and all of our financial systems to help us really grab our data by the tail. And it really hasn't. It just hasn't evolved that way. And when I look at blockchain technology, I don't see this as exciting as XML was 20 years ago. So I think that blockchain technology for accounting may just be a flash in the pan, though I would like to see it take off. But if you do follow blockchain technology, there seems to be it's taking off and get some traction as a solid system for tracking music and videos, the ownership, and that could deter music and video piracy. So it's possible we might see blockchain solutions take off in those industries of music and video. Here's my take on it.
Yeah, this is David. I'll go ahead and jump in on that one too, because, you know, I look at blockchain and I think it's interesting. There's so many different forces kind of at work simultaneously. We're all kind of, you know, co-navigating together what I'll call a paradigm change as we move from on-premise solutions to the cloud. And I look at, you know, blockchain and I say that to me is a platform change. And because what we're going to do is we're going to start to move the platform on which we process transactions, and, you know, maybe from paper, maybe from, you know, a number of different, you know, legacy approaches to this triple entry ledger, you know, that is blockchain. So I look at blockchain and I say, yes, it's definitely coming. And I think it's, you know, the opportunity to significantly really alter, you know, many facets of what we do and how we do it is just enormous. And, you know, really anyone, you know, all the large organizations, you know, whether it's Wall Street or the banking sector, the big four, I mean, you know, literally across industries, you know, across disciplines, you know, organizations and institutions and you know, just member organizations are trying to understand, you know, what is blockchain? How can it be, you know, used, leveraged, deployed? So again, I think there's a lot of evaluation and a lot of, you know, blue sky thinking going on in and around blockchain. And I'm very excited to see what that's going to look like in real life as it starts to show up. And I specifically think it's probably going to show up in some private blockchain networks first, and so some kind of a private capacity. And it'll probably show up in and around some high-value transactions. So even though it's capable of supporting, you know, maybe, you know, more transactional type of things, I think we're going to see it, you know, a lot of just, you know, kind of proof of concept, you know, around certain use cases, you know, and especially in some big tickets, some you know, really more high value transactions, as you know, on private networks is where we'll probably see it first. And then I think once we get past that kind of proof of concept stage, and people start to become more aware of what is it, what the potential for it is, I think then we're going to find, you know, some trendsetters, companies we don't even know about today, coming up with some killer app, some killer approach, some, you know, really completely imaginative, you know, kind of transformative. And, you know, Carlton used the example earlier of Uber. You know, you roll this conversation, this phone call back 10 years, you know, Uber didn't exist. We wouldn't have thought to have imagined that. But today we all know what it is, we use it, we enjoy it, You know, they've been able to come up with a delightful experience around it. And I think somebody's going to do the exact same thing in the context of blockchain, you know, more at a transactional level. And, you know, that's when we're going to start to see a public deployment of blockchain in and around, you know, some very imaginative, some killer app, I keep calling it. And that's where it'll start to become much more pedestrian, much more commonplace. So it's going to be a process. Going back to that quote I said earlier, don't want to overestimate it in 2 years, underestimate it in 10. It's coming. It's going to be phenomenal. The more we know about it, the more we're thinking, holy smokes, this could touch, you know, this could be far reaching in its impact. And I do believe it will reach very far and reach very deep into what we do and how we do it. And I'm just, I for one, am very excited to see how that's going to take place.
Well, Barry Melissa must have, you know, had the same Bill Gates quote in mind when he recently said something to the effect of, we won't recognize the vast majority of firms in 5 to 10 years. And so that was kind of a time frame he put. And he was speaking about blockchain as part of the conversation. And so I agree. I don't know when it's coming, but I do believe it is coming. And because CPAs work in such a world of record keeping and verifying and reconciling and transaction, verification, when it does come, the accounting industry is a prime place to have a major impact. So all of the manual verification of data could not be needed. You know, if we've got this public ledger that's automatically verified. So from that perspective, I would say the audit side of the profession could see a big impact once the technology is implemented. But there's not, you know, a whole lot you can do right now to start to see implementation other than be aware.
And I think that was a great quote, by the way, from Barry, you know, that in, you know, 5 years time, you know, we may not recognize, you know, some of the CPA firms, some of the CPA firms' functions. We're literally right on the edge of some truly enormous opportunity. CPAs need to be looking for ways they can bring value, because the reality is, at the low end, much of what, you know, CPAs maybe have historically done is being commoditized. I always like to use the metaphor of the water line. The water line is coming up, and more of just that mundane transactional, work is becoming commoditized. And so, you know, as we scramble for a little bit for higher ground, we say, where can I bring value? But wait a minute, the platforms are even shifting. So what we do, how we do it, how I bring value to that, all of that needs to be on the table. And, you know, CPAs need to be understanding it, need to be looking for the opportunity to bring value to it. And blockchain is just a key part, is one more part of this. I know we mentioned Watson earlier, AI, I think also going to be very transformative too. You know, I've one of the things I do each year is I speak on, you know, technology trends. And I think about, you know, one of the pieces I have in this year's presentation is called The Rise of the Robots. And not necessarily the physical robots that are, you know, out on a manufacturing line assembling, you know, the latest and greatest, device, but instead algorithms and software even that's going to help take that mundane and, you know, commoditize and, you know, make that very routine and effortless. And so when we talk about robotics, it's not just physical, it's also, in and around process. It's in and around everything from writing an article to, automatically handling entries, on ledgers. So I really think there's so many ways that technology is transforming the landscape that we're all navigating together. That's where I think just the enormous opportunity is, and all of us need to be saying, where's the value opportunity in that for us?
What is your favorite new technology that our listeners may or may not have heard of?
They have probably heard of my new latest gadget I'm enjoying. I have my Amazon Echo with Alexa, and I also actually have a Google Home. And it's been fun to be able to play music and ask questions that would have normally sent me over to grab my phone or my iPad to Google something quick. And, you know, one day I said, you know, what time is the Super Bowl or whatever. And so that's been kind of fun. The shopping list is nice to just add whatever to the shopping list. So I'm using my device. I enjoy it. although I forget that it's there and always listening. And so I think there's a period of after you get one of these things to try to remember to use it. So that's my fun tech of the year that I would like to tell people to embrace and check out.
Carlton, how about you?
Well, I love my Echo. It really is. It's basically, I call it the iPad killer because everything I did with my iPad before, I no longer do. I just use my Echo instead. So Alexa and I have a ongoing conversation. It's almost like my next best friend. So it really works out well. But the technology that intrigued me recently, I thought I'd throw this one out there. An MIT spinoff company in India called Gravity Labs is working on a solution that turns vehicle exhaust into printing ink. You simply attach the device. It's called a K-Link. K-A-A-L-I-N-K, to your automobile exhaust pipe, and then it filters and captures the unburned carbon emitted from your incomplete engine combustion. And thus far, tests show that the device can capture up to 93% of the emitted pollution, and it takes about 45 minutes of exhaust filtering to produce an ounce of printing ink, or at least it does in India. I'm not sure about Atlanta, how long you'd have to drive around, but I thought that was an intriguing technology. I threw that one out there.
I had not heard about that one at all. So, Dave, this is kind of your sweet spot. And I know Alexa has been on your radar for a while. And something you mentioned in the Echo in your annual tech gift guide for Journal of Accountancy.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know what, I love my Echo as well. And actually at this year's Consumer Electronics Show, it seemed to be almost the good housekeeping seal of approval, if anyone remembers that reference. But, you know, many, many of the vendors that were at CES this year were touting that their product integrates or was compatible with the Amazon Echo. And so, yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with my Echo as well. One of the smart skills I just taught at this last weekend is to queue up my Starbucks order. So now, on a weekend morning, I may say, "Hey Alexa, tell Starbucks to prepare my favorite order." And sure enough, it's jump in my car and I head to Starbucks, and there's my coffee waiting for me. So really a lot of fun. It's very early. It can leave you frustrated at time. You know, my wife sometimes says, the Echo is stupid. And I think it's just because we're really pushing the envelope, and I know the designers of the Echo wanted that as much as possible to be almost a real-time response to any question, anything you might throw at it. So just understand we're pioneers when it comes to these smart assistants, they're called, and whether it's the Amazon Echo, the Google Home, Lenovo's coming out with one that is going to be compatible with the Echo operating system or ecosystem. But it's worth checking out and understanding how integrating voice, is going to continue to change how we interact, with technology. And I think for anyone who's worked with, Siri or Cortana, on their, maybe smart mobile devices, think of the smart assistants, with Alexa, Google Home, kind of bringing that into the office space, bringing that into the home. The great majority of users have their unit housed in the kitchen. But I love it. I mean, I think it's actually fun, and it's a great intro to how hands-free computing is going to continue to evolve. But the other technology I'll mention is 5G. Had an opportunity to kind of connect with the folks at Intel, thinking through 5G, how that's going to, and it's not just a kind of a little bit faster than 4G. It is absolutely transformative in terms of speed, and really all but making communication between any device that's making a 5G connection, out to the cloud and back again, virtually real time. So we're going to be, excited to see some of the latest, smart mobile devices, Internet of Things devices be connected to the cloud via 5G for that all but instant, kind of responsiveness. So 5G is absolutely going to be technology to be aware of and to be on the lookout for. And I think, it's one of those where we're absolutely going to want to be adopting it as it becomes available.
Now, before we leave, is there anything you would like to say? One last thing you could say to the CPAs listening to this podcast? Dave, I'll start with you.
Absolutely. And so I would just say that, you know, look for opportunities to, you know, leverage the latest technology, you know, to think smarter, work smarter, but really, gosh darn it, have fun too. There's a lot of neat stuff, and it can be a real, you know, real pleasure to work with some of the new technology that's out there.
Lisa, what do you say?
I would have a tip to say, embrace the millennials. A lot of what we read is maybe not so positive and has a negative sentiment, but I just feel like the millennial generation has got a lot to offer in that they just know how to use technology. And they pick it up and they are able to learn things on their own. And they are able to do something that many people were hesitant to do in their careers. And so if they find themselves doing something kind of monotonous or they feel like it's not relevant, they will ask and say, why am I doing this, rather than just repeating a process. So earlier when I spoke about eliminating inefficiencies, I think it would be great if people would just take some of these younger workers and say, here, what are you doing in your job that you just don't think is relevant or maybe could be done another way? And I think you'd get some surprising answers and solutions, not just, oh, I think this is dumb, I don't want doing this. But I think you'll get a solution of, hey, what if we use this app or this product? So that would be my parting advice, is embrace that millennial generation. And I think they could help you do the things we've all been talking about and make use of the technology that is available to us today.
Okay. Seems like sound advice and something we've heard on other fronts as well from writers like CPA Insider's Jennifer Wilson has touched on that. So Carlton, you get to have the last word this year.
Oh, wow. I like what Lisa said. I would even go a little further and say, don't just ask millennials how they can do their jobs better. Ask everybody. And I get that feedback. But my parting phrase is, don't just use your technology, master it.
Thank you for listening to the J of A podcast. To listen to the first part of this podcast, go to journalofaccountancy.com/roundtable1.html. That's journalofaccountancy.com/roundtable1.html.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.